Bibles, I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. And also, ladies, mark down April 8th. That's going to be our next G3. If you can come and participate with that, it'll be a great thing for all ladies, teens and older. It's just a great Bible book club, and you study characters in the books of the Bible, and it's awesome. Although I've never been there, but I get to hear about it. So if you can, show up at G3, 7 o'clock, April 8th. All right? And go to Romans 4. And I want you to look at verse 18. This is going to be our text for what we're going to talk about on Wednesdays. And we're going to talk about releasing the power of hope. Amen? How many's ever faced a challenging situation you didn't know how you were going to get out or how you were going to make it or how things were going to change, and it just looked bleak, right? Well, as we discover the power of hope, we're going to see how hope can help us. Amen? Hope is your friend. And we're going to see some things about hope, and I've been chewing on hope all day, and it tastes really good. So Romans 4:18, it makes this statement. He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And let me read it from two other translations. This is the New Living Translation. It says, when God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, Abraham believed him. God had also said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. Even though such a promise seemed utterly impossible. And this is the English version. Abraham believed and hoped, even when there was no reason for hoping, and so became the father of many nations, just as the scripture says, your descendants will be as many as the stars. And then the NIV says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So this is really an amazing statement that God says here about Abraham. Against hope, believed in hope. When it was impossible, when it looked like it wasn't going to come to pass, when the obstacles seemed to be greater than the promise, Abraham chose to hold on to something. And it really was the end result. And he chose to hold on to hope. He chose to hold on to what God said in spite of what it looked like. And when he chose to do that, guess what? He overcame all the obstacles. He released the power of hope. And God wants you to be able to release the power of hope in your life too. Amen? Hope is a powerful thing. So, think of what Abraham did like this. He believed God when all grounds for human hope were gone. How many know that God cannot lie? Amen? God is faithful. He will always be faithful. He will never not be faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he cannot deny himself. So he believed God when all grounds of human hope were gone. So let's define this word hope. All right? What do you think hope is? Give me some thoughts of what you think hope is. Anybody, just shout it out. What do you think, in your mind, what do you think hope is? Expectation. What else? Desires. Okay, what else? A dream that might be that's seemingly impossible. Okay, what else? A chance for what? A chance for victory. These are good definitions. I like them. Any others? Okay. Just the word itself, it means confidence. Say, I'm confident. But combine your confidence with expectation. All right, it's a confident expectation. It's optimism. You know, hope is a glass full type of guy, not a glass half empty. When you look at a glass that's halfway, you can either say it's half full or it's half empty. Amen? When you come to a traffic light, what do you call it? A stoplight? But isn't it a go light too? Okay? Hope is optimism. Hope is anticipation. Amen? There's some excitement there. Don't you like these words? Hope is courage. Hope overcomes obstacles. Hope is potential. Hope is confident desire and confident expectancy. Hope means to anticipate with pleasure, like a dog that sees its owner coming home. Right? That dog's got some anticipation, doesn't it? That dog's been waiting for the owner to come home all day, and now he sees the owner, and that dog, that's anticipation. Okay? Hope is a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. What kind of assurance? Firm assurance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith always rests on a firm foundation. Okay? Hope is a combination of confidence, waiting, and a favorable outcome. When you combine confidence with your waiting, you're going to get a favorable outcome. Amen? You don't give up on hope. Why? Because God is your hope. And He's eternal. Your hope is in God. Jesus is your hope. The Holy Spirit will encourage you to hope. He's your cheerleader of hope. Hope is to await expectantly for good or to wait with confidence for good. Hope is not downcast. Hope will affect your whole being. We're going to find that out as we go along. Hope is to wait in one's heart for desired things. You have a desire, you can see it, you know what it's like, but it's not here yet. So what do? You're hoping. You latch on to hope, all right? Hope is to wait in confidence when there is no reason to wait this way. So what kind of posture do you think hope would have? You think I'm demonstrating hope? Hope is confidence. You know, like when Clark Kent gets out of that phone booth, you know, he becomes the Man of Steel. Now, the Man of Steel disguises himself in Clark Kent, who's kind of clumsy. He kind of makes mistakes. But when he gets out of that phone booth, he takes on something different, that is a portrait of hope. Hope is to expect what you believe in against the thing that may make you doubt. How many know that there was a point in Abraham's life when he doubted whether or not God would do what he said? You can read it in Genesis 15. Don't turn there, but just listen. He said, God, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? Well, God just promised him in Genesis 12. But now in Genesis 15, it hasn't happened yet, and Abraham was starting to doubt. He said, I'm going to make Eliezer my heir. And God said, Eliezer's not going to be in your heir. I'm going to bring an heir from your loins. And he took him outside. Sometimes, if you want to latch on to hope, you got to change your focus. And he got a renewed vision of the stars and the sand. That's all he needed to see. And in that moment, what happened? He believed God. The past tense of the word hoped also means to believe. Okay? This is going to be good. This is going to be rich. Okay? What was Abraham hoping to become? When God spoke to them, when God spoke that to him, how many children did he have? How old was he? 75. How old was he when Isaac was born? 100. Do you realize that the hope that he latched on to was good for 25 years? Listen, when you latch on to hope, it's good for as long as you're holding on to it. But once you let it go, but if you're still holding on to it, it still can come to pass. Amen? Don't let go of hope. I don't care how bleak it is. I don't care what you feel. Listen, Abraham couldn't even consider his own body. That was dead. He couldn't consider Sarah's womb. That was dead. All he could give consideration to was what God said. And when it didn't look like it was going to come to pass, Isaac was born. The promise that God gave him finally manifested because Abraham refused. Now look at verse 19, Romans 4. not weak in faith. How do you prevent yourself from being weak? Exercise. Eat and exercise, right? Eat and exercise. If you feel weak in an area, you got to take some extra things and build that area up, don't you? Okay? Listen, if you're going to receive from God, you better have strong faith. Right? Jesus told, he dealt with people that had little faith. He dealt with people that had great faith. He dealt with people that had no faith. And being, notice that word being. That's a, what do they call that? A present participle? Right? That means now and ongoing, right? Notice he didn't say he had to maintain his strong faith for 25 years. For 25 years, he had to make sure that his faith wasn't weak. And when it was getting weak, he had to reinforce that faith. Because strong faith gets what God said. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, in order to keep your faith strong, you can't consider natural things. Listen, natural things aren't going to build your faith. Natural things are going to weaken your faith. What did he say in Romans 8? The natural man cannot receive the things of God, right? Because they're spiritual. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. When he began to call himself father of many nations and he had no children, do you think that anybody ever looked at him weird? I mean, people that spoke his language knew what Abraham meant. They knew what he was saying when he said, "Hi, I'm Abraham, father of many nations. Where are your kids?" "I'm a father of many nations." You may not see it now, but I can see it because I'm holding on to hope. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't double-minded. He was strong in faith. There we see again, strong in faith. How did he keep his faith strong? He gave glory to God. When his faith felt weak, he began to glorify God. He began to praise God. He got a faith lift. And being, notice it didn't say he was. It says being fully persuaded. How persuaded? That means absolutely convinced, assured that it cannot go any other way other than what God said. He was fully persuaded that what God, he had promised, he was able to perform. Do you believe that God is able? Say, God can do what he said he would do. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Okay? Go over to Hebrews 3:6. Let's look at some places of how the Bible defines hope. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. It says this: "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and what? And the rejoicing of the hope," how long? "Firm till the end." I want you to get this. I'm taking my time with this. Notice, what is hope? Hope is holding firm to your confidence with rejoicing until the end. Hope is not loosening your grip on the promise. Hope is when you've got opinions, feelings, circumstances that contradict what God said, you're holding hope up like a poster. And what's on that poster is what God said. Let me read this again. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if..." Is that automatic? Or do we have to make a decision here? Whenever there's an if in the Bible, it's up to you to make the right decision. If simply means an opportunity. If we hold fast, what are you going to hold fast? Your confidence or your trust or your persuasion or what you believe. You're going to hold fast your confidence and the rejoicing. When you see hope, you know, next week we're going to get into the attitudes of hope, and we're going to see what kind of attitude hope has. Hope's got some attitude to it. Amen? We're going to see what kind of attitudes does hope display, and joy and rejoicing is one of them. Oh, you know, when you read this verse, I don't get this picture. Oh, I'm holding on to hope. Oh, I'm holding on to hope. It says holding on to your confidence and rejoicing. So I get the picture like this. Glory to God. I'm holding on to hope. I'm holding on to what God promised. I'm confident in what God said. Glory to God. However you rejoice. Amen. Rejoice like your favorite team just won the big game. Okay? Or you got the best deal, or you just solve the biggest problem. Whatever makes you rejoice, you need to act like that with confidence in God. Okay? So hope is holding firmly your confidence to the end. What if you quit a third of the way through? No, you got to hold on to the end. That means in order for you to be a hopeful person, you're certainly not going to have to focus on your circumstances. You're going to have to get past your circumstances. You're going to have to get back. You're going to have to get past some things in order to keep holding on to hope. You're going to have to let some things roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Quack, quack. Okay? Go to Romans 5 and verse 2. What are we talking about? We're talking about what hope is. We're letting the Bible define what hope is. Amen? How many know that God is quite capable of defining the things he wants us to know? Amen. And you know what? We should not let the world define marriage. The world didn't create marriage. We should let God define marriage between a man and a woman. Amen. Romans 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we what? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hope is standing in the grace we've gained access by faith to. So, you can't sit on your hope. Isn't that right? By whom? Who's the whom that gave us access? Jesus. He gave us access. How do we gain access? By faith. Listen, he gave you access, but you got to still use the faith key to gain entrance. He's given you access, but you got to use your faith to gain entrance. That's good. What did you gain access to? Into this grace. And what are you doing in this grace? Standing. What happens where you put your feet? Wherever you put your feet, what happens? It becomes yours. So what are you standing on? Are you standing on what you feel? Are you standing on what you see? Are you standing on the opinions of others, or are you standing on what God said? And there's that word, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And he goes on to say, glory in tribulations. But what do most people do in tribulations? They moan, or they groan, or they complain. We're supposed to glory in tribulations. Why? Because we've got something on the inside working on the outside. There's something on the inside that can cause me to glory in tribulations. I'm not glorying because of the tribulation. I'm glorying because who's working on the inside through the tribulation? And that word tribulation means trouble. Anybody here face trouble? And notice, when you glory in your tribulation, it works patience. How many know that you got to let patience work? Some people tell patience to have the day off, or they tell patience to leave early. Notice what happens. When you glory in tribulation, it works patience, and patience experience, and experience produces what? Hope. Hope. That's under how hope is produced. So I'm ahead of myself a little bit that way. Okay, but let's define this again. Hope is standing in the grace that you've gained access by faith to. You got to stand your ground in hope. You got to stand. How do you stand? Like a soldier ready to do battle. You stand confident. You stand assured. You're optimistic. You don't care about this. You care about the end result. You care about the goal. That's what your eyes are on. Okay? Go to Hebrews 6:11. What are we doing? We're letting the Bible define what hope is. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you God's opinion. I'm not giving you someone else's opinion. I'm giving you God's opinion. Why? It's in black and white. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. It says this, and we desire that every one of you, how many? Every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hope is being diligent to the end, so that what you expect may be, what you expect may be fully realized. Some people start off really good. They're excited. They're motivated. They're, you know, they're up, but then they get halfway through. And it's like all the air's been let out of their tires. It's like they're in a sailboat with no wind and no motor. What happened? They stopped being diligent. Notice, let me read it again. And we desire that every one of you, this is for all of us. If you start a project, you should maintain the zeal and the diligence with what you start until what? Until the end. In other words, we got to start with diligence and we got to finish with diligence. You know, I ran a race one time in my life. It was a 4-mile race, and I trained for that. I was with some friends, and we were training every night, and every night we would run a little bit further. And I wasn't much of a runner. I think I did a 10-minute mile. So I finished the race in 40 minutes. Thank God I finished. But I had to keep my diligence when I was almost there, just like when I started. Because if I'd have quit halfway, I wouldn't have reached the goal. But we all have to keep our diligence, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Notice what verse 12 says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who are you following? You know, if you don't know how to get to the goal, follow someone who did. Follow someone who is where you want to be. Amen? Pretty soon, Caleb's going to follow doctors as an intern. He's going to follow people. He's going to work with people who are where he wants to go. And he's going to get that training. And so when he arrives at the goal, he's going to have all this knowledge and all this experience. How many know Joshua followed Moses? Elisha followed Elijah. The disciples followed Jesus. That what was their goal? Their goal was to do God's will. You might as well find someone who's doing God's will so that you can follow them. And you'll find out quickly if that's not the will for you. But say, I'm a finisher. Say, I finish what I start. I don't leave anything undone. When I leave this earth, I'm going to be able to say, I finish my course with joy. How many know Paul kept the same zeal at the end of his life from what he was converted? He kept the same excitement. He kept the same fervor. The minute he got hooked onto Jesus, he was hooked. He stayed hooked until he left this earth. Go to Psalm 25 and verse 3. We're defining what hope is according to the Word of God. I can feel hope rising in the room. Hope is rising. It's rising up in your heart. We're going to have some goals inside, and we're going to achieve those goals. Amen? If you're a believer, then you're an achiever. And if you're a believer and achiever, then you're a receiver. Hallelujah. Psalm 25 and verse 3 says this, "Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." No one who hopes in God will ever be put to shame. When your hope is in God, it will work out for you. God, you know, there was a song that we sang. He did not bring you out this far to take you back again. He brought you out to bring you into a promised land. So when you put your hope in God will never cause you to be shamed. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Listen, when Paul started out, he thought that persecuting Christians was the thing that God wanted him to do. But obviously he was wrong. But when he found out the truth, he was not ashamed to stand up and say he believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed to speak up when necessary. He wasn't ashamed to take a stand when he needed to. When you put your hope in God, you will not be ashamed. That's good, isn't it? Because God can't fail. And when you're hoping in Him, you're hoping in something that cannot fail. In other words, when you're hoping in God, you're not expecting the worst. You're expecting the best. You're expecting God's favor, God's blessing, God's best. So no one who hopes in God will ever be put to shame. King James says wait, but it really means hope. To wait expectantly. You know, sometimes, you know when someone's in hope, when they got this goofy grin on their face. And you're like, "What are you so happy about?" "Because I know the end result. I know what's going to happen." Think all hell could be breaking loose, but you can sit there with a goofy grin on your face because you know that you have a deliverer, and no matter what happens, he can get you out. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a goofy grin on their face when everybody was bowing down to the statue. They had this goofy grin, and not to mention, they were the only ones standing up. And the king, he said, "Okay, now make..." This is my paraphrase. Maybe you didn't hear me the first time, but I said when the music plays, everybody's supposed to bow down. He just gave them a second chance to make sure that they understood. But how many know that their hope didn't change? "Oh, king," they said, "your majesty, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us." Now, some people, they say, "But if he doesn't..." That's not what they said. You can't say God's going to deliver me and then the next phrase, "if he doesn't." That's not how God works. Either he delivers you or he doesn't. Pick one. You can't have both. What they were saying was, "Even if you don't throw us in." Basically, what they were saying, it doesn't matter what you do, king, we're not bowing to your statue. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you threaten us. I don't care what you say. We are not bound to this statue because we don't hope in some gold image. We hope in a living God. Amen. And what happened? They didn't bow and they didn't burn either. See, when you don't bow, you don't burn. How many know that compared to God, no matter what the devil says, they're all empty threats? Think about it. It does not matter what the devil says he's going to do, because when God's on your side, who can be against you? The who doesn't matter. Go to Colossians 1, 23. You can just label this, hope is. You know, I didn't envision this to be so good. I thought it might be kind of dry, but I'm feeling really good up here. This is some good, meaty stuff. This is stuff that'll help you grow as a believer. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Notice this phrase. If you continue in the faith, how many are planning to continue in the faith? Amen. Raise your hand if you're planning to continue in the faith. Okay? Now, if it says, if you continue, is there a possibility that some people won't? Absolutely. The Bible wouldn't say if you continue if it's not possible to not continue. He wouldn't say this if there was a possibility that someone could stop continuing. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. You know what grounded means? To be attached to something. What do you do with a lightning rod? You attach it to the house. That way, if lightning strikes, it's the highest point. It's going to attract the lightning. It's going to send the lightning to the ground and away from your house. To be grounded means to be attached. What do you got to be attached to? You got to be attached to God's body. Grounded and settled. You got to put roots down somewhere. You got to be settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, what's it saying? Hope is continuing in faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope of the gospel. In other words, you don't move from the message of the cross. You don't move from the message of the kingdom. You don't move from the message of Jesus. How many know that in the kingdom of God, it's good news? Anything about the kingdom is good news. We are here to proclaim the good news. Glory to God. So hope is one who continues. That means they're ongoing. You're like the little engine that could. Remember the little engine that could? It was this little train, and he was carrying this load, and he didn't feel like he could make it over this hill, but he kept saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's hope talking. I think I can. I think pretty soon, guess what? He was over the hill. Sometimes you've got to talk to yourself. Maybe you need to look in the mirror and get up and say, I think I can. I know I can. You need to declare who you are in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. That means you win fights. A conqueror, they win battles. They take lands. You're more than a conqueror. You just fight different. You're more than a conqueror. So this is hope. And he doesn't want you to move away from the hope. Don't move away from what you heard the message is to you. Don't move away from your calling. Don't move away from your vision. Don't try to be someone you're not. If you try to be someone you're not, you'll be second best. Listen, be you. Be you. Don't let anybody stop you from being you. I like what Mike Murdoch said. He said, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. That's good. You know when you're in your call, when you're in a place where you're celebrated, not just tolerated. All right? Go to Hebrews 7:19. I've got three more of these. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Amen. Hebrews 7:19. What does the Bible say hope is? This is good. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw near to God. So hope is drawing near to God. You can't do it legalistically. You can't do it through the law. You got to do it through the Spirit. The letter of the law kills. The Spirit gives life. You know, God didn't call you to be a Bible thumper. You know what, Peter Cottontail, he was a rabbit thumper. He would try to find rabbits and bop them on the head, right? God didn't call you to be a Bible thumper. We're not called to hit people over the head with the Bible. But we are called to draw near to God. Listen, if you're going through a trial, if you're facing a circumstance, it ought to draw you closer to God. Amen. It ought to cause you to praise more. Amen. It ought to cause you to confess more. Right. It ought to cause something to rise up within you to give you the goods to overcome what you're facing. Why do you think Jesus spent times where he prayed all night? Because of what he was going to face the next day. There were times when he got by himself and he got away from people and it was just him and the Father having a conversation because he knew what he was going to face that day and he needed the strength from the Father. He drew near to God. Listen, we're letting too many things draw us away from God. Too many little petty things that people are using as excuses to draw them away from God, where they're just lies from the enemy. It just shows that they're weak and immature believers. Don't you think that Pastor Fiona and I had marvelous opportunities to quit? Oh yeah, we had things come against us, but guess what? We're still here. Why? Because we're holding on to hope. God called us here. You know what hope is? Hope is like a shelter in the storm. It's like a refuge. It's pouring down rain. You can't see in front of you, but you get in that shelter. And what are you doing? You're waiting till the storm passes. You know that at some time that storm is going to pass, but while you're in the shelter, you're safe and you're dry. You're just waiting it out, but eventually that storm is going to pass. And being in that shelter is like being in hope. So hope is drawing near to God. Romans 15:4. Two more after this and then I'm done. I got to get these out. Romans 15:4. Hallelujah. Here's what the Bible says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Hope comes from the endurance and encouragement of Scripture. When you're having a rough time, the best thing for you to hear is what God said. In His Word. I mean, discussing the problem isn't going to produce any solutions. But when you get in God's Word, the things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn from what Daniel went through. We can learn from what Esther went through. We can learn from what the disciples went through. They're for our learning, and it produces encouragement and comfort from the Scripture. So hope comes from God's Word. If you're running low on hope, build up on some Scripture. Listen to it or read it, however you need to do to get it in you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:19. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Hallelujah. Hope is rising in this place. It's getting ready to burst out the seams. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope exceeds this life because it goes into eternal life. When this life is over, we're still going to be living. So our hope goes beyond this life. Amen? And it goes into the next life. Glory to God. So what do we learn? Hope exceeds the boundaries of this life. Hope has no boundaries. Oh, can you feel your hope expanding and rising? No boundaries to what you can hope in. Glory to God. Hope is expanding. It goes beyond this life. Hallelujah. And then finally, the last one for tonight is Hebrews 6:18. Back to Hebrews 6:18. This is what hope is. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Where is hope? It's set before you. All right? Hope is an anchor to your soul. Look at verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Notice that you've got to take refuge. You've got to flee to the hope that is set before you. The Bible says, the Lord is a strong tower, and they that run to him are safe. Which hope? The hope that is set before us that we can run to, it's an anchor to your soul. How many know that your emotions can mess you up? Satan plays on your emotions. He knows which buttons to get you emotionally involved in something. And when you're emotionally involved in something, it can scar you. And Satan takes advantage of your emotions. But we have an anchor to the soul. You can get your emotions in check so that they're not. You know what an anchor does? An anchor keeps the ship from being blown to and fro. An anchor keeps the ship in place. Well, how many know that when you got an anchor to the soul, you can keep your emotions in check with God? And notice this anchor is both sure and steadfast. It's firm. Hallelujah. So hope is an anchor to the soul. You've learned what hope is. Okay? We've defined what it is. Now next week, we're going to learn about the attitudes of hope. What kind of attitudes does hope have? So that you can have the right attitude when you are facing the challenges, the tests. How many know that God knows that we're going to face tests? We're going to face trials. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. Knowing that patience needs to have a, let patience have its work. See, sometimes we're facing things just because our patience has a job to do. And you got to let patience finish the job. Otherwise, you will face the same test again in another place. If you haven't let patience finish the job, you will experience it again. Because God deals in cycles. Amen? But we are not a people without hope. Hope is strong. Hope is firm. Hope is near. It's before you. Hope is there for the getting. God's got an abundant supply of hope because He is our hope. You can put your hope in Him and it will not fail. And it will produce results. Amen? So, Father, thank you so much for the hope that you've given us. Lord, let us have a greater understanding of what it means to be a person of hope. Lord, that we do not lose hope, but we hold on to it. It's a life preserver. Lord, it'll see us through rough times. Lord, it'll rescue us. Hope will rescue you from trouble. Lord, we're not going to take our eyes off of you. And Lord, I pray that for the people here tonight, Lord, that their hope will expand. Lord, they'll become strong in hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, be refreshed as you go forth in hope. God bless you. Thanks for coming out tonight.